Well, God has a plan. We're doing our series, and the series is titled, Teach Me the Power of a Moment. And we've seen that God wants to teach us the power of a moment first with people. When God does something in our lives, what He's going to do first of all is bring people into our lives. People will come in and change our lives in a moment, but also the devil will do the same thing. He's going to send you people to stop you from going on. Also, there's power in a moment and a place. We talked about that. God wants to take us to a place in Him where He's commanded a blessing for us. We've talked about that, but what the devil's going to try to do is keep you out of the place where your commanded blessing is. What we're going to talk about today is teach me the power of a moment with a plan. God has a plan. He can send you all the people, and you can go to all the places, but if you're not in the right plan, you're not going to hit God's will for your life. So we're going to talk about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 says that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God is going to sound, and the corruptible is going to put on incorruption, and we shall be changed. God can change a life in a moment, right? He'll raise it up. It can be a drug-addicted life, but in a moment, He can change it. Your marriage can be dead today, but tomorrow, in a moment, He can raise it up. I don't care what you're going through, God can fix it in a moment. So this is what we're talking about. Now today we're going to be talking about His plan for you. In a moment, He wants to reveal His plan to you. So in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you." Hold it up there just a second. Please notice, you got to get this part. It's God's plan, we just get to be in it. You see that? It's His. He's not blessing my plan. It's His plan. I just get to be in it. And if I'm in it, then I'm going to get blessed. Right? "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. This is a declaration. The Lord declares things. That's when I get you to say stuff back to me. I want you to declare it. The Lord declares things. Declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you." Get this part. This is the part we always emphasize. "And not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Then. Now, you got to say "then" to me. Say it, "then." That's a big "then." See how big I got that "then"? That's a big "then." Because then he says, "when you talk to me, I'll hear you." Please get it. Don't miss it. People wonder why their prayers aren't answered. They're not in the plan. He's attached directly His plan with your prayers. If you're in His plan, He's going to answer your prayers. He's going to hear you. This is what He says. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen." Then, He goes on, "you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." All of a sudden, when you're in God's plan, what happens to us is suddenly something happens within us, and we have a relationship with Him that we've never had before. We're walking with Him, close to Him. We can hear Him. He hears us and He answers our prayer. See, people never connect the dots. Why isn't God answering my prayers? Well, you're not in the plan. Why am I not prospering? He says, "I'll give you prosperity and I won't harm you." Why am I not prospering? Are you in the plan? "I'll give you a hope and a future." Well, I'm hopeless. I don't feel like I have any future. Are you in the plan? Because if you're in God's plan, He says, "I declare it. I'm going to make it happen for you." Come on. Somebody shout. Come on. Come on. You got to get this. Listen, I don't know of a better word or a more important word that I've ever taught than this one today. And I always can tell because whenever I've got something really important to say, people get sick. But God has a plan. God has an appointed plan. Now listen, adding a layer. And assignment for every person on this planet. I want to say it again. God has an appointed plan and an appointed assignment for every person on this planet. Let me read you from Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed," or "I assigned you as a prophet to the nations." Before Jeremiah was born, before he was even formed by God in his mother's womb, he had an assignment. What was his assignment? To be a prophet to the nations. I want to tell you, you have an assignment. Now, and people say, well, Delbert, I'm not too sure about that. You see, my mom and dad, they just got caught up in a minute. In a moment. See, things happen in a moment. They got caught up in a moment. And I was kind of an accident. They didn't plan for me. Well, maybe they did it, but God planned for you. You are no surprise to God. Before the foundations of the world, He knew you. He formed you in your mother's womb. He appointed you. He has an assignment for you. Let me show you this. And I can declare that because I know that only God can give life. Only God formed. The devil doesn't form anybody in the womb. Only God can bring life. Let me show you this. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 6, it says, "O foolish and unwise people." See, if you think that, if you think that God's not your father, that He doesn't have a plan for you, the devil has you fooled. "O foolish and unwise people, is He not your Father, your Creator, who made you and formed you?" Who did? Who made you? Who formed you? God did. See, we want to call Him Father, but then we don't want to realize that, well, He had a plan for me. You were not an accident to God. Look at this, and I like Job 31:15. "Did not He who made me in the womb make them?" There's me and them. "Did not the same one form us both within our mothers?" God formed you. You came from God. You came through your mama. But you came from God. And that spirit's going to go back, hopefully, to God. See? And then I like this one. Isaiah 44:2 says, "This is what the Lord says, He who made you and formed you in the womb, and who will help you." Not only did He make you and form you and give you life, now He wants to help you with your life. You see this? Listen, you have an appointment. You are here on purpose for a purpose. Say that back to me. I am here on purpose for a purpose. Amen. Well, shout to God, somebody. Come on, this is good. You're here on assignment. Now, God does everything, another layer, God does everything according to a plan. Whatever God does, it's according to a plan. You'll see this before we leave. But God does everything according to a plan. He says, "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. I don't think that anybody who goes to church much and sits under decent teaching would ever doubt that God has a plan. I think the problem that most of us suffer and struggle with is, what is my plan? What is my assignment? I don't know how to figure out my assignment. I want to, I desire to, but I don't know how to figure it out. Well, what I'm going to spend the rest of our time together with is giving you five things that I promise you, guarantee you with, if you will do these five things, you will know the plan of God, the assignment that God has for your life. Now, let's look at these. I want you to write them down, because you're here for a purpose, on purpose. You're on purpose and for a purpose. You're not just here. Now, there's notes out there like we always do, and there's CDs and tapes, but I really want you to get this, okay? Please get this. Number one, we find God's plan by hearing God speak. Now, that sounds foreign today to some people. But Jesus said, and I showed it to you last time, in John chapter 10, He says, "My sheep hear My voice." He says, "And I know them. I know them because they hear My voice. My sheep hear My voice. I know them, and they follow Me. They follow Me to the place of commanded blessings. They follow Me to the plan I have for them." This is what He's talking about there. "My sheep hear My voice." God is speaking today just like He spoke 2,000 years ago. God is speaking today just like He spoke 6,000 years ago. God is the same yesterday, come on, today, forever. "I change not, saith the Lord." God wants to talk to you. You got to get, though, in the plan so that He can. Now, let's get this. There is a plan. Now, I want to read you this in Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. It says here, talking about Noah. "So God said to Noah, 'So make yourself an ark of cypress wood and make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out.'" God said, "Noah, I have a plan. The plan is I'm going to flood the world. Your assignment, Noah, is to build an ark. Your assignment is, if you build this ark, you'll save yourself and you'll save your family. That's your assignment. I'm going to give you intricate details on how to do it. It's going to be 300 cubits long. It's going to be 50 cubits wide. It's going to be 30 cubits high. He's going to put a window and a door at the top of it. He says, I want you to put rooms inside of it, pitch it within and pitch it without. And he says, now, if you'll do this, Noah, you'll be blessed. Was he? See, the floods of life come. And when they take us away, it's because we weren't doing our assignment. God says, hey, I want to prosper you, not harm you. Hey, I want you to have a hope and a future if you will get in my plan. God has a plan. Noah came down, he was blessed, prospered, and generations to come. Look at another one with me, Joshua. Joshua understood the plan of God. God had a plan. He says, I want to take my people in. I want to take them into the land of promise. I want to take them into Canaan land, the promised land. Joshua, your assignment is to lead them. Now, Joshua went in to the promised land, and the first thing he saw was this huge fortified city with these big walls around it called Jericho. Let me read this to you so you can have the reference. Joshua 6:2 says this, then the Lord said to Joshua. See, God speaks the plan. See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. God had a plan. Joshua's assignment was to lead the people. And then God gave the intricate details as to how that plan would be accomplished. Here's what I want you to do, Joshua. I want you to get everybody together. I want you to march them around that city one time a day for 6 days. Keep your mouth shut. Then I want you to walk and march around the seventh day, six times. And then on the last trip around, I want you to blow those shofars and I want you to shout as loud as you can. And if you will, the walls will come down flat. See, there was an intricate detail. God wants to give you intricate details about your assignment. He doesn't want you groping around in the dark. He wants you to have eyes of understanding so that you can make it and you can prosper, so that you won't be hurt, so that you can go forth with a hope and a future, so that your prayers will be answered. There's a plan. God has a plan for you. Now, notice in both of these illustrations that I gave to you, what got Noah in was God's plan. See, it wasn't Noah's plan, it was God's plan, and Noah was chosen because of the plan. Joshua didn't get in with his own plan, it was God's plan, and the reason Joshua was chosen was because of the plan. What I want you to see right now is that you're chosen because of the plan. God has a plan. You have an assignment. And when you get that hold of that assignment, God's going to bless you. All right. Hallelujah. Let's clap. Yeah. We have it so far. Walls just came down for somebody. God does everything according to a plan. We find God's plan through people. This is number two. We find God's plan through people. God's always going to bring people into your life when He's ready to change and take you to another level. 2 Kings chapter 5 talks about a guy named Naaman. I've used Naaman a lot in our series because he put together the people, the place, and the plan for us. It's such a wonderful thought for us here. But Naaman was doing, in verse 1 of chapter 5, says that Naaman was doing the work of the Lord. He was knocking out a lot of the enemies of the people of God. And so Naaman, though, got sick. He contracted leprosy. But God had a plan. Let me read this to you, give you the reference, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 3. This she here is a little maid servant, just a little maid that served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, Naaman's wife, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Now what happened is Naaman had leprosy. He was going to die. This was a terminal disease. And there worked in this thing the people, the place, and the plan for Naaman to receive his healing. God's plan was to heal Naaman. Now, but Naaman had to get into the plan to get that healing. Now, what happened is, first of all, the little servant girl, the little maid servant, told his wife, said Naaman's wife, said, if he'll go down there and he'll, this prophet will heal him. And then, so there was those two. Then his wife told Naaman. Naaman says, okay, I got to check it out with the king. They said, the king will let me go. He went to the king. The king didn't only let him go, but the king blessed him so he could go. He gave him all this wealth so that he could make sure he blessed whoever it was that healed him. I want you to know that along your way and your plan in life, God's got people already assigned to bless you. There's people that are already there that are going to help you along your way. Yeah. They're already assigned. They're already there. All you got to get in the plan, right? So he's got there. So he goes to Samaria. He finds the prophet. The prophet gives the word of the Lord, but he sends out his messenger instead of coming out himself. He sends his messenger out to tell Naaman what to do. Now, already God has used five people to get Naaman to this part of the plan. God will use people to help you with the plan. Let me give you a reference here. It's in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 10. And Elisha sent the messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." See, that's Naaman's plan. Naaman's plan, if you want to have your healing, here's the plan. You go and you wash. Say wash. Wash. Go wash seven times in the Jordan River. Well, you know what? Naaman didn't like the plan. I meet a lot of people. They hear people tell them what God's plan is for their life, but they don't like the plan. And they get mad. And they get mad at me. I'm just trying to get them clean. Wash yourself in the Word of God. Get that leprosy off of you. Come on. Get in the plan. So Naaman didn't like the plan. He got angry. Let me read it to you. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy." Make it easy for me. But no. Abana and Parfar, the rivers in Damascus, aren't they better than any rivers of water at Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. There's a commanded blessing for you. No, Naaman, there is no other river. The Banana River or the Parfar River or whatever, that won't work. You got to go to where the commanded blessing is. There's not a commanded blessing there. You can't do it your way. It's not your plan. It's God's plan. And if you'll get in God's plan, Naaman, you'll get healed. But we want to do it our way. We get mad. So God sent, "I'm not giving up on you yet, Naaman." He sent more people. Watch this. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then? When he tells you, wash and be clean." Now watch this. So he went down and dipped. He went down and dipped himself in the Jordan seven times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. See, God had mercy on him. He said wash. He just dipped. But God still worked it out for him, right? See, God's gracious and merciful. But he got in there and he went down. And I don't know how all this worked. One times, two times, or if it was a progressive healing. But anyway, it doesn't matter because he got his healing. See, God has a perfect plan. But look at all the people that God used to get him in the plan. He used the little maidservant girl. He used his wife. I'm telling you, our spouses are one of the best people to get us in the plan of God that you'll ever find. He used the king. The king blessed him. He used the prophet. He used the prophet's servant. He used his servants, plural, at least two of them. At least seven people God sent just to get Naaman in the plan, to get him so he could do his assignment. God will send us people because God doesn't do anything outside of a plan. God has a plan for you and for me, and God wants us to all walk in the plan and the assignment that he's given to us. Because if we will, we will prosper. We won't be harmed. God will hear us from heaven. We'll have a hope in a future. Number three, we find God's plan in supernatural ways. Supernatural ways. God needed somebody that would raise up and deliver his people from the Philistines. So you know what he did? He sent an angel to this woman who was barren and to her husband. And what the angel told the woman and the man was, "Listen, you're going to have a son. He's going to be a Nazarite. This is Samson's parents." See, he needed to raise up somebody. Now, I want to read you the verse and give you the reference, and then we'll go on. "The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, 'You are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son.'" See, Samson's parents had an assignment. Their assignment was to conceive and have a son. His name would be Samson. He would take this Nazarite vow, and he would deliver God's people. What I'm wanting you to see here is God not only has a plan for you and an assignment for you, but he has a plan for your children and an assignment for your children. Come on. God has a plan, and he does nothing outside of a plan. He doesn't bless my plan. I'm supposed to find out his plan and get in it and find out what my assignment is. Concerning John the Baptist, it was kind of the same thing. It was a supernatural thing. 430 years before John the Baptist was born, he was written about in the book of Malachi. Malachi the prophet wrote, he said, before the Messiah can come, Elijah must come first. Well, when it came time for this Elijah who was fulfilled in John the Baptist, when it was time for him to come, God supernaturally sent an angel to the man who would become John the Baptist's father, a priest named Zechariah. Let me read it to you in Luke chapter 1, verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. The angel told Zechariah, said, I know Elizabeth's old, I know you're old, but she's going to conceive. She's going to conceive, and you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. He's not going to be Zechariah Jr., he's going to be John. He said, I want to name him Zechariah Jr. He said, well, then you won't speak again. He shut his mouth until the baby was born. See, you got to get in the plan. Don't fight with the plan. So he said, okay, well, you know what? He was born. Zechariah produced and Elizabeth came together and they had a son named John the Baptist. And John the Baptist became the Elijah. Let me show you. Luke 1:17 says this, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready the people prepared for the Lord. God sent an angel because God has a plan. God will supernaturally let you know his plan. God's going to do it. He's going to speak to you, first of all. He's going to send people to you as well. And then he wants you to also know supernaturally. Sometimes it'll be in dreams and visions. Remember Abraham? Abraham was walking in his assignment of God, but he hadn't fulfilled it yet because his total assignment was to have a son through Sarah. But what's interesting here, this came through a dream and a vision. And he says, now what I want you to do, Abraham, is it's not just for you. This part of the plan that I have isn't just for you. It's going to be for generations to come. In fact, it's going to be about 400 years here. I'm giving you a plan for about 400 years here for your future generations. Let me read it to you in Genesis chapter 15 and verses 12 through 16. As the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep. And a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country, not their own. For they will be enslaved and mistreated. 400. Does God have a plan or what? 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with a great possessions. And however, you, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at an old age, a good old age, and that's right. And in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here. God wasn't just giving Abraham his assignment. What God was also doing is, I've got a plan for every person on this earth. I've got an assignment for every single person. And 400 years from now, they're going to come right back here. You know what happened? God sent Moses. Moses delivered them. Gave Moses an assignment. God then sent Joshua. Joshua did his assignment. Brought the people in to that very place where God told Abraham they would come back. I'm wanting you to know the Word of God does not come back void. And if it says it, you can count on it. See, God has a plan. And he has a plan for every single person on this planet. He has an assignment. And when you get in that assignment, he says, what I will do for you is I'll prosper you, not harm you. I will make sure that you understand you have a hope and a future, not just for yourself, but for generations to come down the road. See, I'm planning. I'm getting in the plan because I got generations coming down the road. Hallelujah. Number four, we find God's plan through his word. I don't know how much of the history of Israel that you know, but the nation got into turmoil and rebelled, and there was a northern kingdom that was called Israel and Samaria, and the southern kingdom was called Judah. Well, the northern kingdom went into idolatry and began to worship Baal and Ashtaroth and all of these idols and all of these things. But God had a plan to bring his people back to him. And then we read here, and this is so interesting. I want you to see this in 1 Kings chapter 13 and verses 1 through 2. It says, by the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel. This is an unnamed prophet God sent. as Jeroboam was a wicked king. Jeroboam was standing at the altar to make an offering. He cried out against the altar. What was he prophesying to? The altar. He wasn't prophesying to Jeremiah. He was not, Jeroboam. He was prophesying to this altar. And he says, altar. Let's keep reading. Altar. Oh, altar, altar. This is what the Lord says. A son named Joash will be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priest. Huh? Do you get this? Altar, on you, Joash is going to sacrifice these false priests. Sacrifice the priests on the high places and now make offerings here. That now make offerings here, and human bones will be burned on you. 334 years later, guess who we find as king? Joash. 334 years later. And what they found is where this prophet had made this prophecy, they wrote it in a book. And a priest found the book and brought it to King Joash and read it to him. And all of a sudden, Joash has his assignment. In a moment, he found out what it was that God wanted for him, and he fulfilled his destiny. Let me show you this in 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 10 through 13. And Shaphan read from in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robe. Go and inquire. I got to know now. I found my assignment. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people of all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. In the Word of God that God has given to you and me, there are assignments given. And this took 334 years. And all of a sudden, in a moment, see, there's power in a moment when you're in the plan. And all of a sudden, in a moment, Joash knew his destiny and his assignment. And if I'm going to give you the reference, I'm not going to read it, in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 16, you read there and you find out where he found the bones of the old false prophets that were prophesied. And they took those bones and he put them on that altar and he burned those bones on that altar. He had an assignment. You have an assignment. What I'm trying to tell you today is that God has a plan that includes you. You are in the plan. And in that plan is your assignment. And in your assignment is prosperity and not harm. In that assignment is your hope and your future. In that assignment, God will hear from heaven and He will answer your prayers and you will have a relationship with Him because you'll begin to seek Him with your whole heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Number five. We can find God's plan through the prayer and fasting. Now, Daniel is a perfect example of all of these. Daniel did all of these things that we were talking about here. He would, of course, read the Word of God. Of course, he would listen to people, God's people. Of course, Daniel would get around and have supernatural visitations from angels and things. Daniel did all of these things that I'm telling you about. But one day, Daniel was reading the Bible, reading the Word of God, and he saw where Jeremiah had written that the captivity of Babylonian captivity would last for 70 years, and that time had come to a conclusion. And so Daniel wanted to know the plan. Daniel wanted to find out his part in the plan. What was his assignment in this? Let me read it to you in Daniel chapter 9, verses 3, and then I'm going to go down to verses 21 and 22. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with Him in prayer and petition and in fasting. Daniel did all the things, but the thing that he added to his desire was the fasting and prayer. And in sackcloth and ashes. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the angel, the man of God, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I am now come to give you insight and understanding. I want you to know the plan. Here's God's plan. Daniel, the thing you're asking about is concerning 490 years. He said in these 490 years, it's going to be divided into three parts. First part's going to be 49 years. Second part's going to be 434 years. And the last part is going to be 7 years. What you really want to know is about the last 7 years. In the last 7 years, the first part of that last 7 years, the Messiah is coming. Messiah is going to come, and in the middle of that 7 year time, He's going to be cut off from His people after He's confirmed His covenant. That's the plan. That's my plan, Daniel. Your assignment is to write it in a book and seal it up until that time comes. And when that time comes, another guy named John is going to write another book and he's going to open it for you. And so that you can understand how all works. And I want you to write it so that when it happens, Daniel, so that when it happens, everybody will know that I have confirmed my covenant. That this is that. This is it. Sure enough, 490 years later, a man named Jesus of Nazareth, who is to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, steps into the Jordan River and is baptized by John the Baptist. Oh, God has a plan. And God confirmed it. The Bible says heaven opened. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 says the heaven opened and a voice came out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has a plan, you see. He confirmed it. He confirmed that covenant. 3.5 years later, of course, he's cut off. But God confirms that covenant and raises him from the dead. You know the story. I'm telling you, God has a plan. He does everything according to His plan. Everything. God has a plan. He does everything. What I've tried to tell you today is that you can find God's plan for your life. It gets simple as you begin to do these five things. First of all, you got to hear and you got to listen for God's voice. You got to know it. My sheep hear my voice. You need to spend time in prayer every day. God, reveal to me your voice. Tell me. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You need to be able to hear the John the Baptist says, I will baptize you in water. He said, but there's one coming after me. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And fire. Yep. The reason I'm about doing this is not for any reason except you'll be able to hear God better. God wants you to hear. Oh, it's coming from your spirit. It's coming from down in here. All of a sudden you hear the voice of God. God wants you to hear His voice. He also says, you know what? I also want you to get around the right people. I want you to get around the right people. God says, I'm going to always bring people into your life. Get around the right people. Don't let people bring you out of God's plan. Always be in God's plan. Make sure the people that are wanting to go. You need to be happy when somebody gets in your face and says, you're missing God. And if you keep doing this, you're going to die of leprosy. You need to thank God for people that will get that bold with you. Don't get mad at them like Naaman nearly did and missed his blessing. Be happy for them. The third thing that we've got to do is make sure that we understand supernatural visitations. Well, God doesn't do that today, does He? God doesn't send angels, does He? You better read your Bible, because the book of Hebrews says you are entertaining angels unawares. Right? Angels unawares. Some of you have entertained angels and didn't even know it, and you missed what they were trying to tell you about God's plan. Angels, unawares. You need to have visions and you need to have dreams. Don't take them lightly. When you wake up in the morning and you had one, write it down. See if God will follow up on it and make it clear to you. You need to have that. You need to read your Bible. Can I tell you something about your Bible? The way you treat that Bible is the way you're going to be treated and the way your children are going to be treated. God says, my people are destroyed. Why? Why? Lack of knowledge. Let me read it to you. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you as my priest. But it goes on. Because you've ignored the Word of God, the law of God. I also will ignore your children. God says, if you won't read the Word, I can't help you a whole lot. I love you. But you got to get in the Word or you're going to be destroyed. And not just you, but your children. The way we treat our Bible is the way we're treated and the way our children are going to turn out. People wonder why their children turn out badly. The reason their children turn out, they don't get in the Word. They don't get in the plan. You got to get in the Word and you got to pray and fast. So many Christians have never fasted. They've never spent time with God instead of eating. We feed our flesh, but we don't feed our spirits. And so our spirits gets weak. We need to fast sometimes. If you'll do these five things, I promise you, God is going to reveal His assignment to you. You're going to know His plan. You're going to hear from heaven. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future." Then, would you say it one more time to me? Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Would you stand at your feet with me, please? Then, I can't tell you anything better, more important today than getting in the plan of God. In your plan is your assignment. In your assignment is your blessings. What has God called you to do? I want to tell you today, you're on purpose for a purpose. You're not a mistake. God has an assignment for you. Do these five things if you don't know what it is. And I promise you, He'll reveal it to you. I want you to repeat this after me. I want you to declare it just like I told you the Lord declares. I want you to declare this is a good positive declaration. It talks about the people, the place, and the plan that God has for us. This year, I am going to walk in God's plan and find His assignment for my life. It's a plan to prosper me, not harm me. It's a plan to give me hope and a future. I will call upon the Lord. He will listen to me. This year, I will receive the right people into my life. This year, I will be in the right place for my life. Amen. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Lord, have us in the right place, at the right people, with the right time and the right plan. Oh, Lord, you'll heal our bodies. You'll hear from heaven. Oh, Lord, please, we pray. Move upon us, oh, God. Oh, don't let us miss our assignment. Lord, I'd rather just die than miss the assignment. Lord, I want the assignment. Help me get in the assignment. Oh, God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Some of you gotten way, 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 way away from the plan of God. You know it's there. You even know what some of it is. But you got away from it. You let people pull you out. You let the devil get in the wrong place. God can't hear from heaven for you and answer your prayers. You're not being blessed and prospering. You're going through all kinds of hurt and pain. Family, finances, all kinds of things are going crazy because you got out of His plan, out of His assignment. Every head bowed now, please. This is you. I'm not going to make you come down here. I just want to pray for you. I just want to speak it over you. God's drawing you right now. Your heart's beating fast and your hands are getting sweaty because you know God's talking to you. That's what happens. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But what you're going to do right now is you're going to say, Lord, I'm going to try to get back into the plan where I have my assignment. And I'm going to do my best to do what you want me to do. That's you. Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I see your hand. I see you. See your hands everywhere. Praise God. Hold them up. Just say, hold on. Father, for these that have their hands up, I bless them right now in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, that you will show them specifically the people, the place, and the plan. The people that will help them come in. The plan, Lord God, the place, Lord God, where there's a commanded blessing for their life. And Father God, I pray right now that they'll get in the assignment that you have for them. Lord, that their lives are going to change in a moment. In a moment. God, this moment. Father, I ask you now to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one more thing before we go. Maybe you've never received Jesus Christ, or maybe you did a little prayer one time and you thought that, but you've got a way and you're not walking. You don't have a hope. You don't have a future. You've never received Jesus Christ into your life. Would you please allow me the honor to just pray with you right now? Heads bowed, please. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus and you've never really gotten serious with God, would you just slip your hand? I'm not going to make you come down. I'll just pray with you right here. Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I want back. I want to receive Him. That's me.